today on Real Radio.
Do you want the Lord Jesus Christ in your life? If you do, it's evidence that he chose you. Do you want to draw closer to God? It's evidence that he chose you. Do you want to become a more faithful Christian? Do you want to have God use you in this life? Then listen, it's because he chose you.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called His Spirit is Our Hope, Part 1, continues now in a series called The God of Our Salvation, the Book of Isaiah. Thanks for taking the time to join us today. You know, Isaiah's ministry was like no other prophet in biblical history. He not only foretold the birth of the Messiah, Jesus Christ, but his prophecies regarding the nation of Israel, well, they were beyond scope, some reaching as far as the second coming of Christ and his 1,000-year reign here on earth. In Isaiah chapter 43, we learned that God's ultimate plan for the nation of Israel is to gather the Jews back to their homeland. This return is a witness to the way God keeps his promises. The Lord's passion for his people shows us how he is still at work in their lives, sending a powerful message to the world that he is still in control. So today on day one of Isaiah chapter 44, Pastor Jack tells us that the same Holy Spirit that's at work in the lives of the Jewish people is the same Spirit that's alive in the Gentile believers, and the same God who chose the nation of Israel to be his people is the same God who has chosen us. And now in his lesson called His Spirit is Our Hope, Part 1, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Lord, we ask you for your help to understand, to learn, to handle your precious word, the holy, perfect, infinite word of God. Here we have it in English, but for our convenience, but we're handling tonight the prophet Isaiah, nearly 3,000 years old, 2,800 years old. Prophecies that are speaking to us, Lord, as clear as a bell. So, Father, give us ears to hear what the Spirit of God would say tonight. And as we study and learn about the Holy Spirit in this chapter, may we leave tonight more equipped to walk with you daily. And so, Father, be in our midst now as we continue to worship you this evening, now together in the Word. We ask it in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. Well, grab your Bibles and turn to Isaiah chapter 44. And we're going to be looking at a very, very beloved chapter. Some of it you're going to see that it's Isaiah, God speaking through Isaiah, warning the nation yet again. And some of this we've covered. But from this portion outward, out to chapter 66, I got to tell you, it is absolutely spectacular, the book of Isaiah. And if you haven't joined us in previous studies, the book of Isaiah is considered the prophet. He is considered the evangelical prophet because more prophecies of Isaiah's are found in the Gospels and in the epistles in the New Testament. Isaiah is quoted more often than any other Old Testament prophet in the New Testament. And his ministry was extremely powerful, obviously. The book is deep. We just recently, several months ago, ended the first section, which was chapter 1 to chapter 39. And it dealt with all of Judah and Israel's disobedience to God and their coming warnings. The prophets warned of them being taken captive because they wouldn't repent and follow God, and all of the woes and all of the lamentations. And then we broke into chapter 40 and the scene changes. It will go and touch on certain events. You'll see this tonight, but it's predominantly now chapter 40 to chapter 66 is looking not only to the future. And that, by the way, encompasses the future you and I are living in right now in the 21st century. But Isaiah will speak a lot about the tribulation period, and he'll speak tremendously. We know so much about the millennium, the thousand-year reign of Christ from the prophet Isaiah. But tonight we're looking at a message entitled, His Spirit is Our Hope. That is Holy Spirit. His Spirit, His Holy Spirit is our hope. And we're going to be looking at that tonight in these 28 verses of this chapter. And the first thing that we see tonight, church, if you'd mark it down, if you would, is that the Holy Spirit is our hope. And we understand it this way, and it is by the fact that the Spirit of God pursues us. Now, I want all of you Bible students to pay close attention. The Holy Spirit of God pursues us. And as we read the book of Isaiah, I'm not confusing things. Understand this. Isaiah speaking to the Jewish people, to Israel in totality. Just know this. A Jew then, now, and in the future gets saved the exact same way we Gentiles must be saved. Jesus didn't die on the cross for the Gentile world. Listen, some people say this. Jesus didn't die on the cross for the Gentile world, but the Jewish world gets saved by keeping the law. No, listen, the world must come through the same gate, the one door, and that door is Jesus Christ. Let's remember that the very person that you and I know about being born again was Jesus speaking to none other than the head teacher of all of Israel, Nicodemus, a Jew. And what did Jesus say to him? Nicodemus, you must be born again to enter the kingdom of heaven. And that is the work of the Holy Spirit. God's Holy Spirit is calling and has always been calling Gentile and Jew alike to put their faith in Christ. And that is of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit, part of his nature is to pursue the lost. But let's look at this together, because in verses 1 to 6 in Isaiah chapter 44, God begins to remind them again of his witness and of the fact that God, the God of the Bible, is uniquely sovereign. And he speaks to his elect, that is Israel. Look at verse 1. Yet hear me now. Very strong word. God is saying, listen, chapter 43, we studied it last time. God says, in light of chapter 43, yet hear me now. It's this. Remember, I will bring you back from all the nations of the world. Chapter 43, he says, in the last days, I will gather you up and I will see that you come from the east and from the west and from the north and the south back into your own land again in the last days. God says, I'm going to do this. And I have even moved nations and kings and kingdoms for that to happen. God's focus on the Jewish people and Israel. And God begins to assemble. And he says in these four words in verse 1, yet hear me now. In light of all of that, he's saying, watch this. O Jacob, my servant, and Israel, whom I have chosen. Circle the word chosen right there. God sovereignly has placed his redemptive work on those whom he has chosen. And God says of his word that he has chosen the Jewish people. Are you a Christian tonight? Raise your hand if you're a Christian. God has chosen you. The same way he chose Israel is the same way he chose us, the Gentile believers of what is known as the church or the body of Christ. Same Holy Spirit at work. Isn't it amazing? Isn't it awesome that God could have said, I've chosen the Jews. They're my special people. The Holy Spirit will reach out to all those who will believe, and those who will believe, I'll save, and all Gentiles are made to burn in Hades. Thank God, right? He didn't say that. I've actually been in Israel where I had what is called a Hasidic Orthodox Jew tell me that very thing. You're a Gentile. God made you to burn. You're fuel for hell. No, really. We're the only ones. It's a certain sect. You've seen them before, but they don't evangelize. They don't tell anybody about the love of God. They keep it to themselves. They think that they're the only ones, and just by them being a Jew, that they're going to go to heaven automatically. Jesus would say that to them. In fact, it's the Spirit of God that is saying to them today, you must be born again. If you've ever seen them, they wear the black hats, they've got the curl, you'll see them in LA or in New York or Chicago. They need Jesus just like you and I do. The Holy Spirit is inviting the world to believe in Christ, to believe in Messiah. God says, I've chosen. And he said he chose his people right there. Seemingly out of nowhere, sovereignly, the Lord announces, I have chosen you. Does that sound reminiscent to you of somebody that you know? Have you read about someone else saying to you that I've chosen you? Does that ring a bell? In John 15, verse 16, Jesus said, you did not choose me. Isn't that true? You didn't choose me. He says, but I chose you and appointed you. And that's awesome. If you're a believer tonight, when you raise your hands and you, by doing that, you're announcing, yeah, I'm a Christian, I love Jesus, I follow Jesus. Listen, you didn't wake up one day and say, I'm going to love God, I'm going to go follow Jesus, I just got to go find him, and as soon as I find him, I'm going to go follow him. No, listen, you had your first God thought toward Christ by the Holy Spirit. And Jesus says, listen, you didn't pick me, I picked you. I'm glad God picked me. Think about it. Think about how secure that is. Remember when you were playing kickball or baseball or whatever it was back in the old days and you were always the last one to get picked? Well, we'll take John. Oh, no, you can have him. Remember that? Like leftovers. You know, some Christians think, maybe I'll be in heaven, but I'll be some sort of a leftover. No, listen, everybody. Do you want the Lord Jesus Christ in your life? If you do, it's evidence that he chose you. Do you want to draw closer to God? It's evidence that he chose you. Do you want to become a more faithful Christian? Do you want to have God use you in this life? Then listen, it's because he chose you. This is what's fun about what I'm laying out before you. If you can answer those questions in the affirmative, then listen, it's based on that where you and I get to be reckless for God. He doesn't kind of choose. He doesn't kind of like, I pick you. He doesn't do that. He doesn't do that. God, the Holy Spirit, is at work and he does that. Look at verse 2, Isaiah. Thus says the Lord, who made you and formed you from the womb, who will help you. Fear not, O Jacob, my servant, and you, Jeshurun. That is another word for Jerusalem. Listen, you don't see it hardly ever in the Bible, but it means, listen, this is amazing. It means an upright plant or a shoot, a straight growing root, something that is strong and sturdy and beautiful. God is speaking to Israel in faith himself, as it were. She's not been strong, beautiful, and upright. She has betrayed him. She has walked out on him. She has offended him. And look how God is speaking about Israel in Jerusalem. He says, oh, beautiful, strong root. Wow. Does God see something in Jerusalem in the future that blesses him? Say yes. Yes. Does God see something in you that someday you and I will stand in heaven and God will be blessed by his finished work in our lives? I am so glad that's going to happen. That we stand finished before him. You know the stuff that bothered you today, plagued you today? And that's just the stuff that you did today. Not just the world, but us. Well, the stuff that we do, think, and conduct ourselves regarding ourselves, there's going to be a day when that part of us is blown away, cleansed. And listen, one of the telling proofs of the Spirit of God again at work in your life is if you had a choice tonight, if you had the absolute power tonight to write off things out of your life, would you do it? Oh, yeah. Listen, would you do it? I'd do it. This. What about this? Yes. Take that off. Jesus, take that away. Are you with me? What about this? Yes. Here's the concern. If there's something on your list and you go, not that. Not him. Not her. Not that. That's a problem. That's a problem. Now listen, look at verse 3. For I will pour water on him who is thirsty. Think of the book of Revelation. Think of John chapter 7. And floods on the dry ground. I will pour my spirit on your descendants and my blessing on your offspring. God says my Holy Spirit is going to come upon Israel someday in the future, upon the descendants, to the people of Judah that Isaiah was speaking to. The Bible is full of this. Joel chapter 2. Either turn there or mark it down in your Bibles. We'll read a good chunk of it right now. Joel chapter 2, beginning at verse 20. It's exactly what Isaiah is speaking about in verse 3. Church, listen. Write down these verses next to verse 3 because this is good expositional constancy if you're studying the Bible. You need to know this. And in fact, if you do this, you won't be like the guys that are on the news prophesying all these crazy things, yanking Bible verses out of context. Joel chapter 2, verse 20, prophet Joel. But I will remove far from you the northern army, and I will drive him away into a barren and desolate land with his face toward the eastern sea and his back toward the western sea. We'll pause right there for a second. If you want to get into a deep study, we ought to do this someday, of the exploits and catastrophes of the Antichrist, Joel chapter 2, verse 20 answers that. There's a lot of scriptures that back up. This is in the future. With his face toward the eastern sea and his back set toward the western sea. His stench will come up and his foul odor will rise because he has done monstrous things. Again, Joel speaking of the coming Antichrist. Verse 21, fear not, O land, be glad and rejoice. So God is speaking. Think about it. In your mind, in your biblical knowledge that you have right now, project your thoughts to the future, and Joel is speaking about the future events regarding the nation of Israel, and he's saying there's going to be terrible, terrible war, terrible catastrophes, and this one is going to come into your land, but don't panic. Rejoice, for the Lord has done marvelous things. Do not be afraid, you beast of the field, for the open pastures are springing up, and the tree bears its fruit. The fig tree and the vine yield their strength. Verse 23, be glad then, you children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he has given you the former rain faithfully, and he will cause the rain to come down for you. The former rain and the latter rain in the first month. Verse 24, the threshing floors shall be full of wheat. This is all about Israel being prosperous in the last days. She's going to have a horrible setback in the seven-year tribulation period, which has to happen. Israel will barely survive, and then Israel will flourish again under Christ. But watch this. And the vat shall overflow with new wine and oil. Verse 25, so I will restore you the years that the swarming locust has eaten, the crawling locust, the consuming locust, and the chewing locust, my great army which I sent among you. Why? He judged them for their disobedience. Verse 26, you shall eat in plenty and be satisfied and praise the name of the Lord your God, who has dealt wondrously with you, and my people shall never be put to shame. He's speaking about the future. No one will ever put Israel to shame when God begins to fulfill his word. Verse 27, then you shall know, notice the timing of this, then you shall know that I am in the midst of Israel. Wow. I am the Lord your God, and there is no other. My people shall never be put to shame. This is what God says. Listen, isn't Israel around the world being put to shame right now? Absolutely. Haven't they been for the last 2,000 years? Yep. Even, listen, in Old Testament times, were they not put to shame? Yep. Every time they disobey, they're put to shame. But God is speaking about an ultimate time when he's going to rescue them and they will no longer be put to shame. That time is yet coming, church. By the way, he's going to tell us when it's going to happen. Look at verse 28. It shall come to pass afterward. Interesting words. After all of these catastrophes, when all these things have almost looked seemingly hopeless for you, in the last times, in the last days, near the end, it will come to pass afterward. He's talking about verses 21 to 27. That I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Listen up, everyone. You're going to think I'm reading the book of Acts now. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. And also on my men servants and on my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days. Those three words, in those days, in the Old Testament, is all referencing the time of Jacob's trouble, the 7-year tribulation period, in those days. God is saying that Israel is going to look like it's about to be destroyed by the Antichrist and its forces. Israel is going to be scattered, but when I begin to pour out my spirit upon them, it's going to be the ultimate fulfillment of Joel's prophecy. Now listen carefully. This is remarkable, to say the least. Verse 30, notice the chronology. I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood. Everybody was talking about that on Monday. They didn't read the rest of it. Before the coming of the great and awesome day, some of your Bibles say the great and terrible day of the Lord. It's a reference to the tribulation period. That last portion of verse 31 is in reference to Christ returning at Armageddon, in Megiddo. Joel's given an overview of the seven-year period of time regarding Israel. Verse 32, and it shall come to pass, that is when? When will it come to pass? In those days, that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem, there shall be deliverance. Stop right there. Is that awesome? God is saying, listen, salvation and deliverance is going to come from Jerusalem. That doesn't happen now. God is saying, I'm going to defend them. That's not happening right now. He's announcing to them, I'm going to pour out my spirit upon you and your sons and daughters, your maidservants, your men servants. They're prophesying, dreaming dreams. And listen, you've read the book of Acts. You remember Peter saying this. Do you remember this? Peter said this in Acts chapter 1, verse 4. Listen, Acts chapter 1. I know this is a lot of stuff, but it's okay. We'll make it. Acts chapter 1, verse 4. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them, Jesus is speaking at this moment, for them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me, for John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? Will you start the millennium now? Are you going to sit on your throne? And if you do, can we sit on thrones with you? Remember, they asked him that earlier in the year. Can we rule with you? And Jesus says, listen, now's not the time. He says, look, it's not for you to, verse 7, it's not for you to know the times and the seasons which the Father has put in his own authority, but you shall, notice the answer, no, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Acts 4, verse 8, and Peter being filled with the Holy Spirit said, fulfillment of what Jesus said. Listen, write them down. Acts 4, verse 29. Now, Lord, they prayed, look at these threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word by stretching out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders might be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak the word of God with boldness. Awesome. Next verse, Ephesians 5, verse 17. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation. In other words, you get drunk, and what, for an hour or two, you're drunk, you're under the influence of some spirit, and then it leaks out, and you're no longer possessed by it. The Bible is saying, why waste the time on that? Don't do that. Don't do that. Why? He's offering something better.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called His Spirit is Our Hope, Part 1. Thank you for taking the time to join us today. And our hope for you is that you come to know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. His Spirit is Our Hope, Part 1, is part of Pastor Jack's series called The God of Our Salvation, the Book of Isaiah. A series that brings to light the ministry of the Old Testament prophet Isaiah, who shared with us the coming of the Messiah, our Lord Jesus Christ, over 700 years before he was born. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. Hey, did you know that Pastor Jack has some podcasts available at the website? They're called Real Life Talk. And all you got to do to watch is go to our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org, and click on the media icon. Once you're there, simply go to Real Life Talk Podcasts with Jack Hibbs, or you can join him wherever you get your podcasts and search for Real Life Talk. Pastor Jack has a lot to say on important topics that are real, sometimes raw, but very relevant in today's culture. Subjects like gun violence, abortion, and the sex education crisis in California. And don't forget, Pastor Jack's also on Facebook, Real Life TV, as well as Instagram and YouTube. It's all right there when you connect with us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. And if you need to get a hold of us, call us, 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-777-2346. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Radio.